So we'll be learning tonight, Mitzvah Hashem, Simen Kuf Ein Zayin. We'll learn Sif Beis Gimel Dalet and Hey, which will lead us to the end of the Simen. Simen Kuf Ein Ches is already a next topic, which is the pre-recorded shurim, which is Ezu Dvorim Kuim Hefzik Basuda. It's about Shinui Mokim primarily, change of place, which is interesting area of Halacha. Just make sure when it comes to the pre-loaded shurim, to the pre-recorded shurim, just make sure not to just listen to one of them and then assume that the rest, because there is... It's a bit of a build-up. So the maskona is not really in the first part of the shir. It's quite, because the remor comes a bit later. So it's important maybe to keep in mind that you should listen ideally to all of them. Okay, so tonight we're going to be learning Simen Kuf Ein Zayin, based till the end of the Simen. Okay, Dvorim Haboim Lachra Suda Koidim Bekes Amozin. Shulchan Aruch talks about Dvorim Haboim Lachra Suda, food which are being brought after the meal, Koidim Bekes Amozin, before benching. Which means the following. Shayaminek Bimei Chak Magamor. In the times of the Gemara, the following used to happen. Shesoifa Suda, Shabesoifa Suda, at the end of the meal, they would remove the hands, they would take away the hands, may not pass from bread. The bread would be taken away. And they would then fix themselves, to establish themselves, to eat fruit, and drink, anything that would be brought before them. Bein dvorim haboim machmas asuda, whether it's things, foods which are directly related to the meal, bein whether dvorim haboim shaloi machmas asuda, foods which are not necessarily connected to the meal, teunim bracha ben lifneim ben leachayim, you'd make a bracha on them, whether it is Boch Rishoina, whether it's Boch Achoina. The Hamoitzi, because the Brocha of Hamoitzi, the Birkas Hamozen and benching, eight poitrin will not exempt then Elam Ashenechal Toich Ikra Suda. Will only exempt food which are part of the main Suda. Vedinze or Achoin, this very last halacha, Eino Imotsu Beineinu is not common nowadays, Lefishenu Regilim Limsha Chidinu Mina Pas, because we don't tend to remove our hands, to pull away our hands, mina pas, from bread, at Birkas Hamozen to Birkas Hamozen. Okay. This Shulchan Aruch is teaching us the following halacha. In previous generations, they would have a full meal. They would eat and drink and eat and drink. They used to have some tables, mobile tables near them. Do you remember again that used to eat reclining and sitting and in a way that we don't feel particularly comfortable, and would have like a kind of table, probably quite low, and they would eat on that. At one point, towards the end of the meal, these tables were removed, they were taken away, where the bread and the remains of the main course and the bread would be taken away. And that doesn't mean they were quite finished though, because at that point some fruits were brought and you would have a bit more fruits, or alternatively other additional foods. Sometimes they would even still have some main course-ish kind of, I call it dessert maybe? Yeah, maybe I can call it dessert. They would have any kinds of food still coming, but the point being that the table was removed and now comes the very last course and they will bench after that. Often it would be fruit, but it could occasionally be also filling foods as well. Very filling foods. Shulchan Aruch is teaching us now that whatever it is, doesn't make a difference if it's meat, fish, fruit, dessert, whatever it is, you're going to have to make a bracha, Boch Rishoina and Boch Achoina on it. It's not exempt within the Boch Rishoina, and it's not a pot with a benching. Shulchan Aruch says that Teunim Brocha Belifneim Belachayim, they will need a Brocha, whether it's before and after. Da'amoytzvi Birkas Hamozen, I'm reading the last line of page 158. Da'amoytzvi Birkas Hamozen, because the Moitzi and the benching, Ein Poitin, will only exempt, Mashenechal Toich Ike Asuda, what is the main part of the meal. This is not the main part of the meal. Why not? Exactly, because the table is removed. That's a key point. The table has been removed. Hence, you're going to have to make a special bracha for those foods. Bracha Shoina and Bracha Achoina. The benching will not be included. Now he says that this halach, Shulchan Aruch ends off, and he says, this halach is not relevant nowadays anymore. Shulchan Aruch itself says, top of the page, or bottom of page one, Favedra, although leading into top of page B. He said, this halacha doesn't really apply nowadays anymore. Because our minhag, says Shulchan Aruch, is that we still tend to eat a bit of bread until the bitter end. Until the bitter end. We still go and eat a bit of bread. Consequently, it's not considered that we are removing ourselves from the bread and it's just like after's coming. Table is taken away. It's not like that. We still have bread until the very, very end. Consequently, everything is the package deal of the meal, and you're not going to make a bracha for these kinds of foods. Yeah. Absolutely. It's one of the reasons. We had another reason previously that it's anyway important to keep some bread on the table, some breadcrumbs, otherwise it's a siman brach to keep some bread at the end, some bread at the end. But that's another reason as well. Correct. So, now, this, of course, is a bit of a question mark. But let us see first the Mishnah Berurah before we address contemporary desserts. Sivkot Yudalev in Mishnah Berurah. Haboy machmas asudikurin basar ve'dogin v'chiyotzibayim. Doesn't make a difference what you're eating, says the Shulchan Aruch. Doesn't make a difference what you're eating. If the table's been taken away, that means you don't have bread anymore. If you don't have bread anymore, that's not part of the meal. You're going to have to make a brach on it. Doesn't make a difference what you're eating. Whether it's shaloi machmas asuda, or whether it is venachem b'bocha afterwards, says Mishnah Berurah Yud Gimel, v'af imochal dvorim shibekosam ein shaloish, even if you're having cakes, loy niftor b'yekes amozen, it's not exempt to the benching. The b'yekes amozen ein opoitem ein shaloish, k'mo shikosam l'kamantzim reyashchesi address alochalete, that benching doesn't necessarily exempt you from bracha choyno. Okay, that's halacha simon reishches. But the halacha here is that either way, if the table has been removed, you'll need to make a bracha choyno and bracha choyno, whatever you're eating. Now, the key words in this bottom line is as follows. Toich ikra suda. It's not considered toich ikra suda. Ikra suda means the main meal. Ta'achar she moshchu yedei min ha'pas, after they've taken away the hand from the bread, shuv einit falein alav, it's not part of it. It's not connected to the bread anymore. V'lochen tzichin bracha b'fnei atzmon ben lifnei belachem, they will need to make their, you'll need to make their own bracha on that. Is that comparable to our desserts? Is it comparable to our desserts? Do you tend to have still the table around when you eat dessert, or has it been taken away? We won't allow that. The table is still there. In your house, what's your minig? Table, you have dessert with table or without table? With. Yeah, so... Absolutely.
After you bench.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'll tell you where it is relevant. As you're saying, nowadays, since our tables remain, our bread is on the table still, this halacha won't apply. However, where it does apply is by, well, tables removed. Dinas chasanas. That's right. Very commonly, by chasanas, for clearing the dancing floor, you're going to have the tables removed. And that could sometimes be before benching. Often it's after benching, but sometimes before benching. Now, what are you going to do then? That's an interesting shaila. Pardon? Got a problem. So what happens is sometimes, and that's all for sure, don't remember if I saw it here, but certainly that's all, you have after the main course, imagine the following scenario. The tables are removed, you haven't benched yet, and now on the side, they have additional foods. There's cholent, and there's kegels, and there's additional loads of drinks, and the oilim is dancing, freilich. Oilim is dancing. Now the question is, do you have to make a bracha on this or not? Tables have been taken away, on the side, there's, make a bracha on it or not? Yeah? You are still... But is it comparable to this halacha over here that the tables are removed and you're going to have to speak a special bracha? Yeah,
mashallah. If you're hot and sweaty and you need to sit down, then you'll go back to your place, just your table
will be pushed away. So you're saying the table is still there, it's just been removed?
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's other tables there which haven't been touched.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Top table is still there. Hopefully. Yeah. Yeah. Depends what?
Whether it was there when you made the mochi or...
No, it wasn't there. It was not there. You should be the same. Right, now this halacha remains a machlokes achronim, contemporary achronim. I think the pashtos is that it's the same thing. I think the pashtos, the svara, at first glance should be that it's very, very similar to that. It's identical halacha. Tables are removed. It's the end of the meal. You're going to have to make a special bracha shonin achronim. I think that's the pashtos, you have to make a bracha. Some poskim, however, disagree, and he brings a bit interesting in the name of Reb Shlomo Zalman. It's a very interesting svara. Reb Shlomo Zalman is now in Sefer Bezin Vezois HaBracha. He says it's not considered a siluk, it's not considered a distancing from the meal, and the words are hoil ve'ein mefaninis ha'shulchones el b'shvil lefanus mokum l'simchas chosn v'kale. The only reason why the tables are removed is... So it's unlike to the halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is saying you're removing the tables because it's not, you finished your meal really. You're not finished your meal. Now you're having something extra, you're gonna have to make a bracha shonin achrona. But really, in terms of your meal, in terms of what you, it's not really part of the meal, but it's an extra. You're gonna make a bracha shonin achrona. The tables have been taken away. Here it's different. It's really very much part of the meal still. But you need dancing space. You need simchas chosn v'kale. You're going to take the tables away. Fine. Okay. Dancing floor. But it's not intrinsic showing anything about with regards in terms of the meal where you're up to. So Shlomo Zalman said it's not considered a siluk, and therefore the mind of all the participants and all the guests is very much still to eat the dessert, and therefore you will not have to make a special bracha on that. And Mr. Kardit seems to agree with that. Yeah. Okay. Interesting svara. Okay. Siv Gimel top line. This means as follows, that the Mishnah Berurah explains, so the Mishnah Berurah explains if cotton tezvav. What's going on here? He says, Roitzalayma, she kvias sudosa lilaf is apas, or yurak elu apeiros. There was fruit there, and the fruit, you had a meal, and those fruit that were around, they were only there to accompany the bread. You're having im kovei. I'm going back to Loshon Shulchan Aruch. Im kovei lifton sudos al ha-peiros. If you're having a meal and you're having fruit as the accompanying the bread, then havale ha-peiros k'dvorim aboim machmas asuda. The fruit are considered accompanying the bread. Ve'afilim oichal ma'peiros b'tchila sudosa. Even if you're having those fruit at the beginning of the meal, peloi pas without bread, enem avoich lo lifnei v'lo achem, you will not make a bracha before and after. Ve'yeshchokim, some disagree. The case we are talking about is as follows: you're having certain fruit that normally you'd eat them as a side dish. Here you're eating them today as accompanying the bread. That's what you're eating. Now, you will not make a special bracha on that because they are exempt through the bread. However, the shaila is, you're before eating those fruit with the bread, you're actually having them individually. You're having the fruit individually. Do you make a bracha on them now or not? So Shulchan Aruch says, you will not need to make a bracha. Einam bracha lelifnei v'lo achev. V'yeshcholkim, and some disagree. V'lochein, therefore, since there's a machloikas, toiv shirich al betchila, ideally should have a bit of fruit before, should eat, in first instance, should eat me'aperos, in pas, should eat some of the fruit with bread, ve'oz, and then afilim achkach, yoichal men beloi pas, even if you're eating them later without bread, enum tu'un in brocha klal, you don't gonna brocha on them. Ve'afal pisha, enu choyzel, avasoif lechol iman pas, even if you don't have bread with them at the very end, me'achal she'ikr kvius hoyo aleu, since the ikr kvius was on them, you don't have to make a bracha. So again, the halacha is as follows. You're having here some foods that, some peiros that you're having them as an accompanying the bread. So an example maybe?
Apple pie?
Yeah, the laugh face, can it be the laugh face, is that pass? Can somebody accompany the bread? Yeah. Okay, let's say, and you're having some of it before, so you're having them as the lafes is that pass, accompanying the bread, and you're having them at the very beginning of the meal without bread. So in other words, you washed. Stop. Now you're having this fruit, which you later on, you're going to have together with the bread. Do you have to make a bracha on it, yes or no? Shall I repeat? You washed from Motzi, you had bread. You stopped now, you stopped having bread. Now you're going to have that fruit, which the next course is going to be accompanied with bread. So if I just have the main course, it's coming to accompany the bread. I don't have to make a bracha on that, obviously. But now I'm having it before the main course, and I'm having it not accompanying bread. Do I need to make a bracha on that or not? Shaila? You think Shaila? What would you say?
You're going to have bread.
You know you're going to have bread with it, so you don't have to make a bracha. Yeah? Because paperes apas, you... Which case of paperes apas? Yeah, but here I had bread. Now I'm having this. How is this?
No, you want to have your fruit before the bread now.
Yeah, fruit before the bread. Yeah.
Yeah.
So no, I had bread at the very beginning. I washed and then I mostly had bread. Now I'm having fruit, which that fruit I'm going to have later with bread. But the fruit now is really standing on its own. Yeah. It's nice, not company, you should make bracha. So he brings a machloikas. Some say you don't need to make a bracha because you're going to have bread with it in a minute. Some say you do. So it's a machloikas as to whether you need to make a bracha or not make a bracha. Shulchan Aruch then says the best way forward is when you're having it, have it with a bit of bread. When you're having it, have it with a bit of bread. Then you're according to all opinions. When you're going to have it, why don't you have a bit of bread with it? And then you're yeah, it's not so practical, huh? It's not so practical. It doesn't say you actually physically need to have bread with it every bite. It doesn't mean that. It needs to be accompanied to some extent. Yeah. Save Dalet. Af al pi shelo yohayu aperos lefono b'shash shebeich al apas. Af al pi, although, shelo yohayu aperos, the fruit were not, lefono before him, b'shash at the time shebeich al apas, that you made the bracha on the bread, although you didn't have them in front of you when you made the bracha on the bread, the fruit went on the table. Cave and the lafes is a pas hemboim, since they are coming to accompany the bread, you don't have to make a bracha on it. So this is an important rule. Imagine you're making hamotzi, and you're going to have accompanying dish with it. But it's not on the table yet. It's not on the table yet. It's not on the table yet when you make hamotzi. And it's only being brought later to the table. Does it matter that it wasn't on the table, or does it not matter? So I think it's actually quite common shayla, no? Because it happens a lot. So he says that since you made hamotzi, it doesn't make a difference whether it was on the table or not. The fact that you made hamotzi and it's coming to accompany the bread makes it, even if it wasn't on the table, it's still fine. You don't have to make a bracha on it. Although it doesn't make a difference that it wasn't on the table. And finally, Sif, hey, im acha shebech ala pas. What happened was that after he made a bracha on bread, shol choloi mebeis acherim, he got somebody sent him a bit of food. So he was in the middle of eating, he had made a mozi, he washed, he made a mozi, he was eating nicely. In the middle of the meal, somebody knocks on the door, there's a delivery, a very nice dish is coming along, and he wants to eat it. So, she'enu soimech somuch aleihem. He didn't know anything about it. V'lo yoy b'taitu ala doiru. He didn't expect that gift at all. Suddenly somebody brings along afilu mitvorim shedarkon lo vodel afes apas. Even if it's something which is normally an accompanying dish. Tzorich levoy chaleim kedinim lach. You need to make a bracha on it. So a case for that will be, you're in the middle of Purim Suda. In the middle of a Purim Suda, and you're enjoying and somebody knocks on the door, and suddenly you see there's a shlachmanos, somebody's bringing shlachmanos, and in that shlachmanos, let's say there was a chumus in it, or there was, something that, I'm not very good at examples today. Some fruit comes out, and you just fancy eating it now. No, chumus is not a good example. Some fruit, a kikl, I don't know, so any accompanying dish that goes good with the main course. And you want to eat it now. Do you need to make a bracha on it or not? It is quite common to have this as a main course. It's not a problem. You normally would have it as a main course. But it's now brought as a shlachmanis in the middle of the meal. You're standing now. You've got this nice dish. Are you allowed to eat it now without a bracha? Or do you need to make a special bracha or not? Shulchan Aruch says, you do need to make a bracha on it. Why is that? You washed.
It wasn't in front of you.
It wasn't, more, no. And the fact that it wasn't in front of you, that doesn't matter. Because even if it wasn't in front of you, still, it's if accompanying dishes, you don't really need to. The reason is, what could be the reason?
You weren't planning to eat.
Yes, it's that's right. It's completely unexpected.
But what about the case of someone's a guest at someone else's?
Oh, very good. That's mamash dermo. That is absolutely dermo. We'll get it in literally a minute. So the Mishnah Berurah here says, Sifkot Nchov, Shadok on Lov, Roy Tzeloima, Fagam Oichlon Imapas, he's going to eat it with the bread. Kimon Shumi Beisachem, since it's coming from other house, Shebevata Loyo Daito Aleim Klal, and it was certainly not intended, it didn't occur to him that somebody was going to bring food, and if Torim Bebekas Abbas, it's not included in the bread. So again, if something was not at the table, and it's being brought in the middle of the meal, that doesn't matter, it's still included in the Baruch. But if something is coming from UPS delivery, somebody's bringing food, that's so unexpected, somebody's bringing a gift in the middle of the meal, wow, that's so nice, then you'd have to make a special bracha. Only because it's from a foreign house, from somewhere else. But if it's just from the kitchen being brought, and it's, you don't have to make a bracha. And that leads to the Ramah. I never saw anybody being careful with that, says the Ramah. I never seen. If somebody brings in the middle of the meal, somebody delivers food, I never heard anybody making bracha on that. We have short time, and I think the reason may be, the stam da'asa odom al koma shemivin loy besuda. Stam da'asa odom, the general mindset of a person is always al kol ma shebivim lo besuda. A person that zaloch in reshvo, will speak about that more in Yetzah Hashem, that if somebody is eating, he doesn't make, he's just happy, and he's gonna, whatever comes, comes. I'm happy. You know, just bring the food, bring it all, happily, just bring all the food. I'm gonna eat whatever you bring, I'm happy. And the person doesn't think, it could be that subconsciously, he doesn't even care where it comes from. It could be from a, could be from a delivery, could be from the kitchen, could be from wherever. As long as you bring me food, I'm happy. I don't really care where it comes from. So, because there is that underlying yesoid, that's very much the ireach that you're mentioning, that's precisely what you're mentioning, that you don't really make cheshbon into where does it come from. Does it come from the kitchen? Does it come from the dining room? Does it come from the upstairs, downstairs? I don't really care. The person just, whatever comes, comes. And therefore, that subconscious vagueness makes it that you don't have to make a boch if something else is being delivered in the middle of the meal. So Shulchan Aruch's opinion is that you have to make a bracha if something is brought externally because you never expected it. Rama disagrees, and Rama says, no, person is vague enough not to care where it comes from, and therefore, whatever is being brought in the middle of the meal, also you don't have to make a bracha on that. What we covered tonight is the following halachas. We learned that in the olden times of the Mishnayos, the tables were removed, and therefore, after the tables were removed, and the bread was removed, anything that was eaten after that, you'd have to make a special bracha. The Shulchan Aruch said that doesn't apply nowadays anymore. We learned that if a person makes a bracha on peiros, then it's coming as an accompanying dish, you don't have to make a bracha on them. We also learned that anything that was not on the table, if it's an accompanying dish, generally speaking, you don't have to make a bracha on it. And finally, we learned if something brought externally, you don't have to make a you have to make a bracha on it. It's not to be expected. The Ramah disagrees. Just to finish off, I saw Moedig Meister just in honor of the upcoming Heilige Days of Chanukah. The Heilige Chaim Oizer Grodzinski Zecher Tzadik VeKodesh Livracha, one of the Gedolei HaDor. He's one of the very unfortunate. I feel the Chaim Oizer is a bit forgotten in a way. He was the Rebbe of the Chazon Ish. He was a Gedolei HaDor. In a very, very unfortunately, he was almost a Gedolei HaDor. He was a dai in the main dai in Vilna. Now Vilna, since the Vilna gone, never had a rov in Vilna. There was like that kind of it was a mesorah not to appoint somebody as the rov of Vilna because of the honor of the Vilna gone, who himself was never officially the rov of Vilna. So there was never a rov in Vilna. But he was, according to all opinions, the Reb Chaim Oizer was the most senior dying in Vilna. For all the years, he was the most senior, not only in Vilna, but the whole of Europe really asked him shayla. So I have a sefer that I collected his writings, and he had literally letters, tshuvas, which was addressed to him from all over Europe, literally all over Europe. Even Chassid Shekdoilim, all the way from English Dayonim, asked him shayla. He was really the foremost godly in a generation of Gdoilim. Very unfortunately, he was nifted just by the outbreak of the war. And therefore, in a way, he wasn't, I feel that, and everything has been published, and he's not so, acknowledged as maybe. So Reb Chaim Oizer was once in Warsaw. Now Warsaw was also a prominent community. There was many Gdolim grew in Warsaw. In the 1910s and 1920s, Warsaw was a very, very prominent, very strong community. And he was there for convention. Reb Chaim Oizer was there for convention in the late 1910s or early 1920s. And Reb Chaim Oizer was there just Hanukkah time. And his frak, he was there for convention, and his frak, in Yiddish it's called frak. Okay. So the frak was, which is fok. Yeah, is that what it's called? In English? Okay, that's the one, yeah, it was torn. He tore it. He didn't have a spare. He was very poor, Reb Chaim Oizer. He didn't have a spare himself. So he had to go to a tailor to fix it. It was quite urgent, because he didn't have a spare, and he was like quite torn, quite embarrassingly so. And he needed to fix it. So he went to Varsha, went to a tailor. It was Hanukkah. And he went up to the tailor and said, you know, do you mind? I need to have this fixed because I can't walk around like this, to be honest. And I just needed to. He was a very posh. He said, this Yid, Reb Chaim Oizer said, this Yid probably couldn't learn a Daf Gemara. He probably couldn't learn a Daf Gemara. He was a very, very simple, very, very simple person. Couldn't learn. Very simple. A tailor in Varsha. And he said, okay, I don't know if I can manage today. He said, why not? You know, I'll pay you extra. I'll just sit to my frak, please. Can you please see? I can't walk around like this. I have a convention tonight of Hosh Yeshiv, it's Gdolim. You need to help. He said, I don't know if I have time today. He said, but why not? You know, it's just like tearing. He said, no, I don't know if I can, man. He said, I'll try my best. Come back in half an hour. So Reb Chaim Oizer came back in half an hour. It was just before Zman Hadlakas Neiras. And he said, I just managed to finish it. And Reb Chaim Oizer then saw what was happening. He saw this yid. He was a very, very posh yid. He went out of his tailor shop. He went out. He took his Shabbos clothes, took his hat, and he said he made a bracha. Reb Chaim Oizer said he's never seen a person making a bracha like this on Lokas Neiras Chanukah. And he said the tmimus and the genuine love to the mitzvah that he saw that day, he never seen before and never seen after. How a posh yid, not a talmid chacham, goes and lights the menorah, makes the brochas of the menorah, and with a tmimus, with a love to Hashem, he just lights the menorah. He said, that's without a doubt, Reb Chaim Oizer said, the God Latoy said, without a doubt, the Gemara says, whoever lights the menorah, he's going to be zeichet of bonim tamid chachamim. He said, this is exactly what the Gemara means. That's what Reb Chaim Oizer said. This is what the Gemara means. He said, he's 100% sure that if Varsha is blessed and gebenched with gdolim and tzaddikim and elich yidin, it's because how the tmimus had the beautiful way how yidin fulfilled the mitzvah. With the beautiful, beautiful tmimus, a genuine, Poshita approach how to fulfill the mitzvahs. And he said that he can't do this. He said he can't do it in the same level as this Poshita Taylor. He said he can't do it. And I wish all be zoiched to be in this oil from that. And I wish you all a very mamash a freilich in Chanukah. And enjoy your break. And see you mit Shem in due course.